verses, and hopefully we can have some fun with the kids a little bit before they leave. So let's go ahead and read Proverbs chapter 30, verses 1 through 9. In the words of Agur, son of Jacob, the oracle, the man declares, I am weary, O God, I am weary, O God, and worn out. Surely I am not stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding of a man. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has wrapped up the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is his son's name? Surely you know. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not me before I die. Remove far from me the falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. Gracious Lord, I pray are so thankful for the opportunity to be together today, as many of your church family meets all around the world today, excited to think about that, the opportunity we have to look at your truth today, and I pray that you would guide and direct and bless in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So as we just go through this a little bit, I'm really just going to say a few words, highlight a few things, and we'll move right along. But we've got this fella here who obviously compiled some things, and as you read different things about this fella, there's different ideas of who he is, and if it's just a title, if it's just a gatherer, a man. But obviously Solomon, in his holy wisdom, as the Holy Spirit led for him to pen this in the book of Proverbs, keep this within the chapters that we read here of Proverbs here, Proverbs chapter 30, some pretty incredible words and learning that we can do. In verse 1, we see that this is a burden, and some it says the burden, the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, the oracle, or the burden that he has. And this burden, this prophetic declaration, an oracle in prophetic literature. But he's addressing, and we see in the next phrase here, it says, a man declares, I am weary, O God, I am weary, O God, and worn out. This Ethiel and Okal, the signifying that God is with us and signifying the Mighty One. And we're going to see that down here further with the answer to some of his questions. Who can gather the wind? Who can hold the waters? Who can do these things? Well, it's the Mighty One. It's God himself, the only one that can do that. And in these questions, and it almost seems as if this fella here has some people with him. If these two were actually folks asking questions, they're questioning him on his belief. And I think, wow, how fitting. That will be shortly. Questions and answers. And I would pray that as we seek questions and right answers, that we center it around the Mighty One, the Holy One, as God ordains. And so we see here, the first thing that I see is a true confession. He has a humble view of himself. Surely I am too stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding of a man. You know, in a search for wisdom and knowledge, we often find that we don't have very much wisdom and knowledge. A person that truly believes that they are wise is unfortunately a fool. We think that we know way more than we actually do. And especially when we study God's word, we begin to just dig. And as we dig, it's almost as if the ground falls out and we have to continue to dig and dig. And then it happens again and we can't even understand where we're at because we have become so entrenched. And that's what it should be. But as we search the scriptures, we begin to search and search and we find more and more. And it's wonderful. And it is unknowable and unsearchable, but yet we seek after it. And so as he believes that he's answering some questions here, he says that we see a humble view of himself. That, you know, the reality is, I don't know. I don't know everything. God does. And as we understand that, we know that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Who can know the mind of God? Help us to remember and live as God would have us, with a humble view of ourselves. Not just a true confession, but we see a true confidence, a holy view of God. As we continue through, then he speaks here about truth about God and to search to know it, incredible, but it is unending, as it says here that I am stupid and I have no understanding. Have I not learned wisdom? Not have I learned the Holy One? You know, the more, as we mentioned just a moment ago, the more that we seek to know God, the more it is unknowable. You know, we think about this when, as I mentioned before, I began this process of God working within my heart. I would read some Psalms, and I'm kind of a night owl. And so later in the evening, down where I live in southern Minnesota, which I just talked to a fella over here that, so 10 minutes from Iowa, so don't, I'm not in Iowa though, so don't hold that against me, but pretty close to it. But on my little country road, I would get to go from my house and I just walk up the country road a couple miles and back. And as you go out there, depending on where you live and things, when you're able to just get out into creation and not have all of the lights and the hustle and the bustle, it's amazing. And one night as I was just praying and had read in the Psalms there, and we were just praying and walking, and I went out one late June evening, and the stars, it was a crystal clear night. And stars stretched from one horizon to the other. And you just stand there and you just look up. And I just walked down that road and I just looked up the whole time I was walking. And my wife's like, good thing you didn't get hurt, you know, walking into the ditch or something. But just walking down the road, looking up, and as much as you could see, just nothing but stars. And then you'd bring your head down and you'd look into a dark area that was kind of overgrown with brush and trees, and you'd see the flash of fireflies. And you just look and you just see this ocean of lit fireflies flashing. And you continue to walk and you continue to walk, and then you just hear the noises of the night and the whatever they all are, right? Frogs and crickets and everything else, and you just hear the noises and you think to yourself, God created this. And it's too much for me to understand how the heavens can be high above and yet we can see them. And Monday night's supposed to be a meteor shower. I don't know if anybody's going out to take a look at that. But it's pretty incredible to think about God's creation and how amazing all of those things are as we see them and experience them and hear them and smell them, and all of the things that go on. A holy view of God. God himself is distinct and separate and morally transcendent to man. It is incredible to think about God, but yet we have to have a right view of who God is in order for us to have a right view of who we are. A true question. So we saw a true confession, a true confidence, a true question, a healthy understanding of our humanity. So he starts to ask some questions. Who has ascended into heaven and come down? Who gathered the wind in his fist? Who wrapped up the waters in a garment? Who established the ends of the earth? And the answer is an almighty God. If you think about that, it's really incredible to think about, but anyone go to heaven and come down? You know, the only way we could really have the answers we're looking for to all of life's problems is if we could actually go to heaven, ask some questions, and come back down, and then live in the answers we just got. But we can't do that. As we think about who God is, we have to trust Him. And as the song would go, when we can't see His hand, we trust His heart. Is that exactly how it goes? We trust Him. We have faith that that's what's going to happen. And then we see that in creation, who gathers the fist in his, the wind in his fist. You know, there's so many things that we try to hold on to so tightly and answer these questions that we want answers to, and we think we've got a life by the tail, and we really don't. We can't walk outside and just grab the wind and take it with us. Only God can do that. God created it. God, from His treasury, there's the wind. Amazing. Who wrapped up the waters in a garment? You know, if you watch some of those creation, different little videos where you watch the storm clouds roll, it's incredible. Fortunately, we usually get a heavy rain every year in Oakland and things, but this year we didn't. We avoided it somehow. I'm not really sure how that works. God does. But to the north of us and to the south of us, often we would see these huge black clouds and just lightning. And it just walked by from the north into the south, and you just stand there and you just watch this, and you say, you know, without rain, how much of the earth wouldn't exist? How much of the animals could not live? We need water. We need rain. My father-in-law's a farmer, and prays for rain at the right time, right? And prays for heat and sun at the right time. And that's wonderful, but we have to have it. And who's wrapped it up? God did. Who established the ends of the earth? You know, how does this whole thing hold together? You know, a lot of there's a lot of confusion out there, and high profile people. We got a flat Earth, really. You ever been in an airplane? You know, we've got this idea that we can somehow keep everything together. One time at my church, I won't make you do this, but have you ever tried to hold your breath for as long as you possibly can? That's as long as you could exist. Great job. Some of us can hold our breath longer than others, but that's all you got. We trust God for absolutely everything. Every breath we take, every beat our heart beats, every nerve that goes, every blood vessel that pumps, absolutely everything within our being has God's hand in it. And we don't direct it, He does. And so if we have a correct view of who God is, then it helps us with a correct view of who we are. So there is a true confession, a true confidence, a true questions, all these questions, and then there's some true comedy. Some people like sarcasm. We heard a little bit about that in the Sunday school class this morning, sarcasm. But it's a humorous question, you know, pointing out our pride. It says, there it says, what is his name and what is his son's name? Surely you know. You can see the sarcasm in this fella as he's talking about this. You know, when we talk about the rain and we talk about the wind and we talk about the sunshine and we talk about creation and we talk about life and health and all those things and who holds it all together, well, surely you know who it is. You don't know who it is? Are you kidding me? And there's so many people that attribute it to other things, and yet we know that it is the Almighty God. And we have to be careful not to take credit. We have to be careful to give that back to God who gave it to us. But there's too many times we put our name there. We become God of our own life, and we want to make our own decisions and hope and think that by my decision that I make, I'm certainly going to get the outcome that I want. And I'm assuming that we can raise of hands how many times that's actually worked in our lives. So then why do we forget? Why do we fall back? Help us to not do that. We see a comprehension, a human dependence upon God and His Word. In verses 5 and 6, it says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. I'll move forward. That's pretty self-explanatory, but as we understand who God is, and we understand His Word, and every word that we know about God is true. Every word of the Bible, every word that we have is truth, and we don't add to it. We don't take away from it. We trust it for what it is. And He promises to be a shield. How many times do we pray for protection? How many times do we desire health and protection for our families, for our traveling, for our friends and people that are around us that we pray for on a regular basis? We trust God, and He promises to be a shield for those who hold His truth and take refuge in Him. And then there's another confession made in a prayer in verses 7 through 8. He has two requests. Two things that I ask of you, deny them not of me before I die. Remove from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of our God. We see these two requests, two ways to live life, that we remove falsehood or shallow, worthless, vain things from our lives, that God would remove those things from us because we want to live on purpose. Well, why do we do what we do? We should be living on purpose. Every job that we have, every place that we go, as we take people with us and we raise our children, whatever it is, we're living on purpose. We're trying to make an impact for eternity. Remove those vain things, false things, shallow, worthless. And then he requests for neither poverty nor riches. How many of us have done that? Lord, just give me less money. Really, that would be helpful, you know. I don't need a tank of gas, you know, whatever. I'm being silly. But, you know, what do we pray? This is what we do pray. Lord, give us what we need, right? Lord, allow your will to be done within us. And he comes and he gets more specific. He says, I don't want too much, but I don't want too little. Because I don't want to be that guy that says, wow, look what I have done. I've created this business. I've got this paycheck. I've got this job because they needed me. Well, I have personally found out that any job that I've had, there's somebody else that can do it just as good or better than I ever did. And so often we think of ourselves in that way, that they need me. I did this. Look what I have acquired. Look what I have done. Look at what I've done. And what happens there? Well, we have too much. We have too much. And sometimes when we have too little, what do? We're tempted to blame God. Why don't you love me? Why don't you provide for me? Why don't you give me what I need? He asked for just the right amount, that he would keep his heart focused on God. What's the most important thing that we have? Regardless of job, regardless of health, regardless of the things that we have in our lives, what is the most important thing? That we would glorify God in all that we do. We see a true conclusion, an honest way to think about life and living for God, and that is to not to promote self and forget God, and not to profane self to blame God. But we see here just a few statements that as the Apostle Paul even said, for me to live is Christ. Says that as we look at some different passages of the Bible, I'm just going to read them off here, but it says, for me to live is Christ. You were bought with a price. Die to self. We should take up our cross and follow God. Do all to the glory of God. Honor God with our wealth and our first fruits, that I might know him and the power thereof. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Not my will, but thine be done. Know ye not that you're God's temple and the Spirit dwells in you? Honor the Lord, for he is holy. Be prepared to make a difference to anyone who asks. Make a defense to anyone who asks with gentleness. Revelation 4:11 says, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." You know, we can learn a lot from him, and I'd love to continue down because he uses a lot of scientific illustrations to prove his point. And that's a lot of fun to look at the animals and the way that humans react and act to different people. And he's systematically put him in there by numbers. But it's pretty impressive. But we're going to conclude there. But what I want us to take away from this is the idea that who is God? God is the one that's in control, and he is the one that deserves the glory, and we should follow him. And as the truth there tells us, that if we know his word, he is a shield. You know, there's one thing that is my desire for our family, is for their hearts to be guarded, to know the truth, and their hearts to be guarded, that as they grow and have passions and desires, that it would be pleasing to God and that they would serve God. And I know that I'm supposed to give, as the bulletin says, a little bit of a vision. And that's mostly what that is. You know, a vision for education or growth in any ways, to know God, to glorify God. You know, whatever your schooling is, as parents, that's your job, to teach your children, and who you put in positions to help you in that is on you, and we need to be very careful and solemn in that duty and in that decision that we make. And it would be my desire to partner with you as parents, and also to prepare the students as they live life to be successful, as we understand it to be successful, but successful in serving God and giving him the glory. And as God provides, God provides. And as I look around, I can only assume, if I had everybody share where you worked or where you did work or whatever you do, but God provided that. God allowed you to have that. And that's an incredible opportunity that you have to be there. And so we want to look to God's glory in everything that we do and everywhere that we go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. And as we see these truths and how the word helps us to remember who we are and who you are. And I pray that you would help us to be able to keep that in the forefront of our minds each and every day, that we would love you and that we would grow in our love for you. Please help us to be thankful as we consider all of the ways that you have been good to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.